podcast, April 10th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can listen to us on sportscast.net, where you can also get news. And also, you can look for us on Twitter, the Sportscast One, which is also on Instagram, the Sportscast One. Or you could get our app, the Sportscast for iOS. The NBA playoffs is here. The teams are bracketed. Teams in the play-in. There was a few punches, but to iron this out, we got Hal Phillips all the way from Maine. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Always a pleasure, Santi. Spring is almost here. Just in time for me to leave. I'm going to go to New Zealand and Australia for 2 weeks. And when I come back, it's going to be spring.
That's awesome. Do you go there often, or is this like a first time?
No. I have clients down there. I have a media company. We do, you know, digital marketing and PR for mostly golf entities. So yeah, huge golf country down there, New Zealand and Australia. And I have a good friend in Melbourne. So my wife and I are going to go. She's never been. I've been several times. It's great.
I imagine. Long trip. And did you watch yesterday, John Rahm winning it?
I did. I hung in there for, you know, most of the last round. It got to be a little anticlimactic there at the end. He was just way better than everybody, and that was clear enough. Poor Brooks Koepka really just couldn't do anything from the moment play resumed on Sunday, and that was never in doubt. The winner, I think, from about the fifth hole.
Yeah, John Rahm, first time winning the Masters. Good for him. Koepka was a favorite, I believe, so I watched golf here and there. I heard Tiger Woods couldn't play because he was injured. So hopefully it gets better.
Yeah, he was struggling. I think if he had made the cut, he would have gutted it out. But he did make the cut. And then he smartly said, you know, what am I doing? I'm not going to win this tournament. I'm just hurting my leg. So the big news was a tree fell on Friday in the morning. Yeah. They are so lucky no one got hurt. See, those of us who live in the North Country, in the North Woods, Santi, we know that when a tree comes down, you hear it. It makes a huge, unmistakable sound. And they luckily got out of the way. It was a big tree. I mean, they were very fortunate.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm glad no injuries happened there. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the NBA. There was going to be an injury punch by Rudy Gobert to one of his teammates, Kyle Anderson. No one got hurt. But Rudy Gobert had a huge temper. But they won the game, Minnesota Timberwolves against the Pelicans, 113-108. Anthony Edwards had 26 points, 13 rebounds, 4 steals, and 4 blocks to lead Minnesota past New Orleans, 113-108. They're in the play-in. They're going to play Los Angeles. Your thoughts over the incident and this game?
Well, it's sort of fascinating what's going to happen in this playoff game, this play-in game. The Lakers are playing very well. The trade that they made, I guess, at the All-Star break delivered to them 3 starters, and they've played very well since then. When they have LeBron and AD, they are basically a better version of the team that we expected to see from the start of the season, because their supporting cast is so much better after that trade. LeBron is not fully fit, but he's certainly fit enough to play a game here and a game there, and I think he'll get at least a day off in between the next couple of games. And then the first round in the NBA is not an every other night affair. Not until the second round does that happen. So I wouldn't want to play the Lakers right now. They're loaded and loaded for bear, probably bitching that people have been doubting them all season or for much of it. And they're ready to put some whoop ass on the Timberwolves, who are, you know, a bit of a mess.
Yeah, big of a mess. And I'll show you the punch, how it went video. Oh. We could get booted out, but we'll just give a few seconds here.
Timberwolves bench. Anderson and Rudy Gobert. That's just something you don't see every day. I know the tensions you played.
So there was a touch. He did feel something, not like a full punch. But we were discussing before the show. I heard Gobert's a very cool, you know, calm guy, but you heard different, right?
Well, no. He's a very enigmatic character, I think, is the fairest thing to say. He's French, of course, and not your typical your typical NBA player in that regard. But he's well-spoken. He's an educated man. He, you know, he had that incident at the very beginning of COVID where he was being a little bit whimsical maybe and touching everyone's microphones. Bad idea. Basically shut the NBA down single-handedly. But I read a big, long Q&A with him. I might have been in The Athletic this winter. He came off as just so smart and reasonable. He's been through a lot of shit, you know, with this trade and hasn't gone particularly well for Minnesota. And then, I mean, if you ask me, is this a characteristic behavior of his? I would say no. He's not that. He's a good teammate or has been. Who knows what's going on there? But that is very unusual to see in the light of day. That might happen in the locker room. It might happen during practice. But during a timeout in a game, you just don't see that. You see maybe some pushing or you get nose to nose. But amid teammates, no. That's very strange.
Yeah. Timberwolves sent Gobert home. It is unclear at this stage whether Gobert will face further punishment from the team. Their next game will be against Los Angeles to face in the first round to play in. So no word there what's going to happen. But they need Gobert. He's an important player for that team and to stop Los Angeles. They'll need Gobert, right, Hal?
Look, I don't think anyone knows for certain what's going on with the Timberwolves in terms of how they're best going to go forward, you know, now that Cat, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns is back. He needs the ball in his hands a lot. He basically stands outside on the three-point line and shoots and passes. He's an adept passer. Gobert is exactly the opposite kind of big man. Can they play them together? That certainly didn't work very well over the first half of the season before Cat went down with an injury. Edwards is a player. Everyone agrees that's true. But, you know, they traded away their backcourt, Beasley and why can't I remember this guy's name? Why do I have a mental block about the guy who's now the starting point guard for the Lakers?
Let me look that. D'Angelo Russell.
Thank you. Why do I have such a mental block? That's happened like that's at least twice before. Anyway, he's gone, and now Conley bring in, you know, another point guard, Conley, who's good, but, you know, now how many members of the Jazz do they have on that team now? It's very strange what they've done. They've got some talent. They played better over the last third of the season, but most of that was without Cat. Now Cat's back, and they're floundering a little bit. That's going to be a fascinating matchup. I mean, you know, the Timberwolves beat the Lakers, and the Lakers will be, you know, one step away from being junked because are they the eighth seed or are they 10th seed?
They're eighth seed, Minnesota, and Lakers are the seventh seed.
Okay. So
yeah,
it's not a do or die situation for either team at this point. So we're going to get a couple of games from one of those teams.
What I like about the play-in is a one-off. They don't have no three-game series, no two-game series. It's a one-off, so which is kind of weird in basketball, but it is what it is. Let's go to the other side. As Hal said, the Lakers are on a roll. They beat the Jazz 128-117. LeBron James led all scores with 36 points. He's back. His mojo's back. 6 rebounds, Hal, and 6 assists for the Lakers, while Anthony Davis added 16 points, 13 rebounds, 3 steals, and 4 blocks in the victory. Lakers are peaking at the right time, you were saying?
I think they are. Well, that you know, peaking for what they've been able to muster this year, I think that's fair. They have a completely different team. I mean, the 3 brand new starters as of that massive trade. So they've had to piece it together. People forget that when the Lakers were good, most recently with LeBron in the bubble, they won that with defense. They won it with guys like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was a starter for them. That they got after it on defense. They weren't just outscoring people. They are going to have to figure something out, you know, on that score to make any sort of waves in these playoffs. I'm not sure they have the personnel to do that. I love Beasley as a player. D'Angelo Russell, notorious gunner. Vanderbilt has made a prophet of me. I always thought that he would be a really good fit next to LeBron and AD on the front line. He is a jack of all trades, can do all sorts of things. He is going to be a player for them for several years to come, and he is a good defensive player. I just have no idea what to expect, but I'd be interested to watch. You know, that all year long we've been complaining about load management and how many games these guys are playing, and you tune in one night and You know, Luka Doncic has taken it again, basically taken the entire year off. Can you believe that Dallas tanked the way they did? Well, yeah. All that was to prepare them, presumably, for the playoffs, which start tomorrow night, and I can't wait.
No Texas teams are in the playoffs this year for the first time in a while.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. That is true. That
Spurs
is true.
Are out. Lakers, I mean, not Lakers, Mavericks and the Rockets.
I went over to my buddy Ben's house, I guess it was last Friday or Thursday, to watch. You know, he has the NBA package. I don't. So I tuned into the Dallas game. Dallas and the Knicks. Was it Dallas and the Knicks? I think it was.
That was like the one that was like a it was like the Knicks knocked them out completely. So.
Right. But Lucas started the game. But then I was like, well, where's Kyrie? And where's Christian? Christian Wood is in street clothes. And I'm like, wait a minute. Did they qualify already? And I didn't notice. I thought that was impossible because they were going to have to win two and someone would have to lose two. And they basically tanked right there, obviously, without any apologies, with still a chance to make the playoffs. I've never seen that. They obviously made a decision that this was best for the organization and everyone was on board. And but I still found it stunning.
I don't know if Kyrie will be back next season. I presume not.
Who can say? I mean, does anyone want him back? I mean,
does anyone want him?
Who does want? I don't know. Did they play well with him? No. That
didn't
pan
out.
We called it, Santi. You know, when you make big trades like that, like the Suns did, like the Lakers did, like the Mavericks did, when you give up a lot of bodies for a star, you better have a bench. And Dallas did not have a bench. The Lakers didn't have one either, but Austin Reeves has stepped up and they picked up another guy. And then who's the fellow who came in from Washington, the half Japanese dude. He's turned out to be a decent reserve for the Lakers. But the Suns are very thin too. And, you know, if their starting five is outstanding. And now that KD is back, they're going to be a very tough out. But man, you make the big trades, you better have a roster.
Yeah, you got to have a roster, as we talked about. And we'll go through the bracket prediction a little bit in the show, a little bit later on. So we can definitely check that out. The other game was the Suns. They rested four of their best players, Devin Booker, Durant, Ayton, and Chris Paul. And I guess this was like a very pivotal game for the play-in or like whoever gets in for the playoffs. Clippers beat the Suns 119-114. Norman Powell led all the scores with 29 points. I have rebounds for the Clippers. While Kawhi Leonard had 25 points, season high, 15 rebounds, and 6 assists in the victory. This Clippers team, it looks like they're healthy. They got things together. So we could see this team go a little bit deep maybe this year.
Kawhi Leonard is the Kawhi Leonard we remember from 2019. He's playing as well as he ever has. He's not that old. And, you know, to be cynical, he's very well rested. Paul George is out. So they're playing without one of their top two guns. So I don't think he's due to come back. I thought that was a pretty serious injury. I'd have to check on it.
Yeah, but, yeah. He won't be back for the playoffs for sure.
Yeah. So that's a team that does have a roster. They do go very deep. Do they have enough to win? I sort of doubt it. But – we shall see. That game, did it matter? I mean, did the Clippers
had to win apparently to get in at a certain seed. So, we'll get to it a little bit later in the show.
Well, yeah, I don't know what to make of the Clippers, but again, I'd like to watch any playoff series involving them. They're deep. I think they're well coached. They're next to the Celtics, the most highly switchable defending team in the NBA. They don't care. They play, run out there a bunch of guys between 6'5 and 6'10, and they guard everyone. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see how that comes out. But, you know, we just have to wait one more week. The play-ins will be a nice diversion, and I guess the playoffs proper start, what, Friday or Saturday?
Yeah, Friday, Saturday this weekend. The play-in is Tuesday and Wednesday, and then I think Thursday or Friday is the other two other games that the play for that number two seed. As Hal was saying, this Clippers team is looking good with Russell Westbrook. He's been actually playing really well, so this could – I don't know. I mean, I can't say Russell Westbrook is going to be that number two guy that the Clippers are going to depend on, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, Clippers are actually had to win to avoid the play-in. So it did work out for them, and we'll see what happens. Another LA team that is trying to make strides like the Lakers, and we'll see what happens there. Let me share my screen here, but we're going to get past the Clippers for now because there's not so much we could talk about them. The Warriors had an amazing first half. They're up by 85 points, Al, if you haven't noticed. They were up 84-53 by halftime. They clinched a spot. They avoided the whole play-in situation. They got the six seed. Curry led all scorers with 26 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists for the Warriors, while Jordan Poole, 21 points, and Klay Thompson, 20 points, added a combined 41 points in the victory. This Warriors team, I could say they might be peaking at the right time. They were dealing with a lot of injuries this past year. Wiggins, I think he might come back by the time the playoffs start, but things are kind of formulating them, but they're a little bit lower seed than the usual number one, number two for them.
They, I'm not going to say they're peaking because they've played well at home almost all year, but they did win a road game in March, I'm pretty sure. And I mean, they may have won one in April as well. Was that Blazers game up in Portland? I think it was.
Yeah. It was up in Portland. So, and Portland's, I mean, I already said they were in a tank this year and they were going to rest Lillard. So,
well, I don't know what the – I have a very good friend. The editor of my book actually is a Warriors fan. He's extremely agitated about what's been happening. But the good news is Wiggins is coming back. And he's really, you know, was their second best player last year in the playoffs when they won a championship. So that's not an insignificant statement. He's had some kind of personal or family issue that I don't really care, honestly, but I am astonished that it hasn't leaked out. I guess that's credit to the Warriors. That's a leak-proof operation, so kudos to them. It is more important to take care of your family business in this world. And now he's coming back in time for the playoffs. And will he be as sharp as he needs to be? Probably not. Will he be able to play defense? Yeah, he probably will. So that's going to be a huge help for Draymond Green to be playing, you know, opposite someone of with a size and a wingspan of Wiggins around whomever they have in the pivot. I think, you know, Looney had a really interesting year. He really nailed it on the boards, but he's so limited offensively. They played a lot with Kuminga, you know, at the five, and I wouldn't be surprised to see he and Draymond and Wiggins finishing some games when the playoffs do come. But that's going to be a fascinating series. The Kings have been fabulous this year and really want to run against everyone. They score points by the bucketful, and they're a very confident group. And I think they would love nothing more than beating the Warriors. In fact, I think if you told them, well, you can win the West and go and get flattened, you know, in the NBA Finals, or you could beat the Warriors in any playoff series, they'd take the Warriors and defeating that regional rival of theirs. They've been taking it on the chin from the Warriors for two decades now. So great draw for them. I think they're excited about it. I don't think they see it as an imposition, like, oh no, the Warriors. They're really keen to beat the hell out of them.
We'll see what happens. Look at the bracket, the 2023 NBA play-in plus playoffs. Let's look into, you want to start East or West first?
Oh, let's go to the East. We haven't talked about them much yet.
I know. A lot of it was focused on that part of the country. Let's look at the first play-in. Toronto versus Chicago. Chicago came in, and a lot of criticism about Chicago. They're not a good team. They don't got Lonzo Ball. He's injured, out for another season. But they made it into the play-in, and then like they're facing with Toronto. Your thoughts over this matchup, and who do you think will come out of it?
Well, I've watched the Bulls probably more than any team in the NBA other than the Celtics this year because my buddy Ben is a Bulls fan and he has the NBA package. So that's just how it works. So I've seen them a ton. They're a very, very strange team. They've been playing DeRozan basically at the four, you know, with Zach LaVine at the three around Vucevic, who no one likes. No one in Chicago likes him as a center. But they are a really good defensive team. You would never have thought that going into the season. They've been terrible offensively. That's why they're 40-42. But for whatever reason, Toronto has their number. I think they've beaten them 3 out of 4 times. It might be more than that because they're in the same division. They might have played more than four times. But I think Toronto will beat them because Toronto has a very interesting team that the management doesn't seem prepared to give up on. They had a chance to trade away one of their studs at the deadline. Instead, they go and bring in Jakob Poeltl and really gives them what they never had, which was a legitimate glass-pounding center who also protects the rim. The problem with the Raptors long-term is that they've tuned out their coach. They're done with him. It's pretty much a given that he'll be gone. And will they go far in these playoffs? No, but I think they'll beat the Bulls.
Yeah, so the season series is split. The Raptors have won 2-1 against the Bulls this past season. The last time they played was February 28th, where Raptors beat them 104-98. I think you're right. I think Toronto has the edge. Playing in Toronto, we'll see what Van Fleet happens. Hopefully he doesn't get matched up with that referee who had issues this past season. So, but all signs are looking good for Toronto. Let's look at the other side. My Miami Heat against Atlanta. Atlanta, who got rid of their coach around February, March. Miami has had a good playoff record. This is the first time in their play-in. I think Miami is going to make it out. Obviously, Trae Young is a threat. Your thoughts over this matchup?
I really don't know what to think about either of these teams as a playoff entity. Miami should win, but Atlanta, I believe, is more talented in a lot of ways, and they're younger, and if they can get into a running situation, they have a chance to outscore Miami, but Miami has this nasty habit of containing people. All the good money is on Miami there, but I don't think either team has a chance to do much. I think even the most cynical Celtics fan is not going to sweat too much about Miami. They seem a step slow and a year too old pretty much across the board.
Yeah, he definitely needs to rejuvenize their squad a bit. And they do have a bit of a rivalry with you guys up in with the Celtics a bit. So we'll see if that does happen. If it is Miami, if not, we could always play the Milwaukee Bucks. We could lose on purpose, and then we could play the winner of the Toronto-Chicago game and then face Milwaukee. I don't know if the Heat's going to do that.
I would love for Atlanta to win the game because then they will go and play the Celtics, and I don't think that Atlanta has any chance against us. But I sort of feel Miami will win, and it'll be a more of a series, and we could lose a game or two to Miami. You just never know. I love Bam as a player. I love Jimmy Buckets as a player. Kyle Lowry and Tyler Hero, that's not a terrible backcourt. They've got some firepower if Lowry's healthy. They just have such a strange roster. All of it held together with chewing gum and bailing wire by Spoelstra, who I think is a tremendous coach. And nothing, I guess, would surprise me coming out of Miami. But I agree with you. They need to do something about that roster. One thing I will say, I think Kevin Love was a good pickup for them. He's played limited minutes for them, but when he's on the floor, their plus minus is very good, and they're a way better rebounding team with him than Max Strus or Duncan Robinson playing at the bottom of that zone where they just couldn't rebound enough. And God help us if Udonis Haslem plays any more minutes, I'm gonna protest the whole series.
He had an amazing standing ovation yesterday, so it was quite interesting.
Is he retired? I mean, did they applaud him because he's standing up?
He probably will play the play. Of course, he's a player coach, so he could just say, I'll just coach the playoffs. But he played for 20 seasons, Hal. That's a lot.
It's incredible.
Which I probably presume that LeBron's going to make it. Well, he probably already did. LeBron is playing his 20th season, I believe.
So wait, did Haslem come into the league with LeBron? Is that?
Yeah. 2003 with Wade and all those guys and Kamala.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
I know. Hey, longevity. It could happen more than before. So let's go to the West part, New Orleans versus OKC. OKC is having a tremendous season, the post Kevin Durant era and all that. They're coming into the play-in. Organization's pretty proud. But New Orleans, they don't have Zion. I think Zion's like day to day, but they're not really gonna depend on him. Your thoughts over this matchup?
The Pelicans have played really well without Zion. That's what no one's talking about. Of course, they're better with him. He's such a dynamic player, but they play very hard and very defensively obdurate team without him. And I think they will beat OKC, who is they've had a really good season. They've gotten all these young guys lots of playing time, and you know that's the team that got in by default when the Mavericks threw in the sponge. So I think that the Pelicans will beat them and then probably end up playing the Timberwolves, you know, for the last spot, because I do think the Lakers will beat the Timberwolves in the other playing game, setting up a really fun Grizzlies and Lakers first round matchup. I mean, if you're the Grizzlies, that's got to suck.
You
get the second, you get the Lakers all finally healthy.
LeBron versus John Morant should be quite exciting there. Let's look at the other game. As Howard already mentioned, Lakers, Minnesota. You pretty much said the Lakers. There's no
chance picking the Lakers. Picking the Lakers to win that game. I think they need to win the game to a team that's that old and that tottering in terms of their health. You know, win one game, get yourself 3 or 4 days off, get ready for the Grizzlies. They lose, they got to play another game. I think that would really backfire on them. But luckily, the Timberwolves aren't any good, so I think they should not have a problem there.
Let's look into the playoffs. If all things come together, Denver is the number one seed, and then number four versus Clippers. Phoenix versus Clippers, that's going to be quite interesting. Who you got there? Phoenix has Kevin Durant, obviously, and I guess health-wise is okay, not the best. But what do you think is going to happen there?
I think Phoenix will win. I think that they're, in my view, the odds-on favorite to win the West. I like their team when they have everybody. If they're healthy, I think they have the best starting five, and they've got two or three people they can bring off the bench. You know, in a regular season, that's a recipe for disaster, especially in the load management era. But in the playoffs, when you've shortened your bench to 7 or 8 guys, they have 7 or 8 guys. And if they're healthy, they're going to be very tough out.
Sacramento versus the Golden State Warriors. They're pretty close. I believe it was 2-hour drive. In soccer terms, I will call it the North California Derby. Derby. Yeah, Your thoughts right. on this matchup?
I think we can call it the air. I think it's the American River that flows from Sacramento out of the Sierra Nevadas into San Francisco Bay. So it's the American River Derby.
Hey, I'll take it.
I think that Sacramento will win. I think that they have the home court. I think they're going to run these guys off the floor, but nothing would surprise me. I mean, Golden State, they haven't really lost guys off of a championship team. Ooh, what's going on there?
Oh, someone's cutting the grass.
I thought it was a clip. That was playing behind the screen. Anyway, I think that's going to be a really fun series. Those two series are really good. I'll watch them. I'm not sure that Denver's series with whomever it might be will be that entertaining. I don't think Denver's that good. Honestly, they may be my third or fourth pick, in the West at this point. Look at that. They lost 29 games. They're the top seed. I think they're thin. But the Lakers in Memphis, that should be a good series. The other three series in the West are really going to be fun. And if the Lakers do advance and play the Grizzlies, that's a toss up. I don't know who's going to win that series. Memphis has not got Steven Adams. They're going to be a little thin, on the front line. And do the Lakers go big and pound them a little bit? It sort of suits them. We'll see if it pans out that way. But those are 3 out of 4 series that I think are going to be outstanding watching.
Yeah, the West is looking good. Now just looking at these brackets, it's going to be a high-rating, must-see TV type of situation. Let's go into the East. Milwaukee will be waiting for that winner. But let's look at Cleveland, New York Knicks. Knicks, another playoff appearance. I think they probably missed like the one from a year ago, but they have been a little bit more consistent lately. Versus a Cleveland team that is pretty hot right now. Your thoughts over that matchup?
That's the only good matchup I see in the East in the first round. Milwaukee is going to crush whoever they get, although Middleton, it looks like he's hurt his knee again, and their prospects going forward are dimmed on account of that. But I like the Knicks in this series. I think Cleveland is tired. I think they've played very well. They've gotten a lot of experience. They've not really used Rubio as their third guard as much as I thought they might. They've only played him every other game. Is he going to be able to go in a playoff situation and give them anything and be able to spell those two guards that are so good? They're two young guards. Great young team in Cleveland, but I don't agree that they've played particularly well the last 6 weeks. They're sort of stumbling to the finish line, whereas the Knicks, geez, they just keep getting grittier and harder to beat. So I guess I'm picking the Knicks in an upset.
Is the New York Madison Square Garden one of the best places for the playoffs?
I've never watched a Knicks game at Madison Square Garden, only college basketball, so I can't speak to it personally. I think they'll be up for it. The Knicks team is really hard to hate, and I'm from Boston, and I've been hating them my whole life. So
big rivalry.
They're honorably sort of diligent defensive team that has some really outstanding offensive players. Thibodeau, the coach, is sort of a spaz. I wouldn't want to play for him. He's so intense. He never seems to sort of give his team any time to
relax
and have fun. Excuse me, but they're an admirable outfit, and all of their pieces have hit for them. Jason Hart was a great pickup. Randall. They have a lot of the left-handers. Do you notice that? Brunson, Julius Randle, and Barrett, all left-handed starters. But they bring Quickly off the bench. They've got some good pieces, off the bench with he and Hart. So, and Quentin Grimes is a pretty useful big guy, spelling Mitchell at the five. They're not a bad team, and I think they will beat Cleveland. I just think they're a little more savvy and a little better defensively. Cleveland's days are coming. Another couple guys. You know who they could use? They could use Kevin Love. Off the bench. That was a little bit, I thought, rash getting rid of him. He's played well for the Heat. You want to play that Turkish dude or Dean Ward instead of Kevin Love. More power to you. I would have kept Kevin Love.
Yeah, K-Love, definitely a good factor for the Heat. We'll see what he does in the playoffs. So yet to be determined. All right, so let's go back into the bracket. The other matchup is Philadelphia versus Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets with no Kyrie, none of those stars. Philadelphia, Embiid, potentially winning the MVP. That seems like an easy one for Philadelphia, right?
It does, but can we give the Nets some props for not just, tanking? And I think that they are 18-23 since trading away Durant. That's not terrible.
Pretty good.
That they're actually an interesting team. This guy, Nick, the left-handed dude, the center, he has had a great season. What's his name?
Let me look that up.
Thank you. But they've got a bunch. They're sort of a playoff-ready team. That defensively very good. They've got three or four great defensive wings.
Claxton.
Yes, Claxton. Thank you. Not Speedy, but Nick Claxton. Of course, Ben Simmons, without
they're
Ben
not related,
Simmons,
right?
Yeah, I don't think so. They've got all sorts of great wings. They can guard you. They've got, Mikal Bridges is one of the best defensive players in the league. They got Royce O'Neal.
Finney Curry.
Smith came over in the Mavericks team. Seth Curry, good guard. They have some pieces. They just don't have the star power. And, imagine this team that if Ben Simmons was actually playing like Ben Simmons at the four, next to Claxton. They'd be a defensive juggernaut. They'd be playing one of those wings at the off guard next to Curry or Dinwiddie. They would be a reasonable team. But look, they won 45 games with this roster that they ultimately pieced together from, these two trades they made. And they're perfectly competitive. If they can get a free agent star to come in or two, I think they're going to be really good. These guys are all young and they can defend. So they're built for the playoffs. So I just want to give them credit for holding it together and trying harder than the Mavericks.
Yeah, hey, anything can be done. They avoided the play-in and they lost three major stars this past year and a coach. I give them all credit where credit's due. I'm still picking the Sixers. Nets, fantastic. So there you have it. The play-in starts in tomorrow night. The first game will be the first two games will be LA versus Minnesota, and then April 12th is the Pelicans versus the Thunder, and then tomorrow night as well, Heat versus the Hawks, and then on Wednesday, Raptors and the Bulls. So it's gonna be action packed one offs. There's no two game series. It's you win and you go in, but If you lose one of the games, you're able to have another chance. So that's going to be quite interesting.
So wait, I'm clear on it, Santi. So we got a doubleheader tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night and Wednesday night, too.
Oh, okay. Doubleheader. And then when do they play the deciding game? Is that Friday?
It'll be April 14th, which is on a Thursday.
April 14th is...
Friday.
Okay, that makes sense.
So whoever wins those games on Friday, they got to bounce and travel to like wherever they need to go.
I guess they probably have them playing Sunday or probably Monday even.
Yeah.
But the first round of the NBA playoffs, you get all psyched up. And then you realize that, you know, after they play, the first two home games, or maybe they play the first game, then they take 5 days off, you know, because they don't have to go every other day. They've got so much content. It's a little disappointing, you know. It's a little bit of an anticlimax in that regard. And I think we can agree that when the second round starts, whenever that does start, and we go to the every other day series, basically schedule, it's going to be good fun. All these second round series are going to be outstanding.
Yeah, this is part of the year that I get really in tune. I order some more chicken wings and watch these matches, Matt games. Denver Nuggets, I'm really curious because I think something's telling me this is like their do or die season. Like, you know, yes, they've been number ones for the past couple of years, but it feels like they got to do something this year to show, hey, we got to pay dividends here. And, you know, we got to make it at least the championship games.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't see them as a top three team, but not the best team in the West. And I think that they're going to win their first series. But it's a funny team. Obviously, Jokic is an amazing player. But Michael Porter has been an inconsistent offensive player and sort of a non-existent defensive player for them. Jamal Murray has played better and better. He's not 100%. He's not Jamal Murray from 2 years ago. And who plays the other guard position for them? I don't know. They're not as deep as you would want them to be. We'll see. They're a potent team. And if Porter can be counted on to score 20 a game in the playoffs, I think they're being hard to beat. But if he doesn't do that, I don't know where the points are coming from.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Things will unravel. Storylines will be created. Mm-hmm. And perhaps that hero will happen. Maybe LeBron will make that stride. I don't know. It depends. All right, so there you have it with the NBA. I do want to mention one thing before we go. Liverpool tying Arsenal 2-2 yesterday. I couldn't see the whole match. I was watching it from my phone. It was fantastic. Arsenal was up 2-0, and then Liverpool came back and tied the game 2-2, a goal by Mo Salah and a goal by Roberto Firmino. Liverpool is a spoiler. Hard to beat Liverpool in Anfield. But Arsenal is up by 3 points against Man City. If Man City wins that extra game they are needed to play. What's your thoughts on this? Do you think it's still up for grabs?
I think it is. We've talked about it. The media environment surrounding English football, especially the English media, they're always trying to tell us that it's over, or it's done. Though this race is over, we may as well just pay attention to the relegation battle. I don't think it's ever been over. There's still that match. Arsenal is going to play City before the season is over. And now that this result has come in, I think they still have a 3-point lead and a game in hand, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Yeah.
So it's not quite so dire. But if they lose that game, it's not the last game of the season. They're going to still have to produce results to win. Of course, I'm not crazy about either team, but I like Arsenal the least. So I hope they lose, and I hope that match with City is one of those do or die, all to play for affairs, because I will watch that. Otherwise, I'm not going to be so moved to watch. I certainly don't want to watch Arsenal parade to the title. I have no interest in that at all.
I will drop everything to see that match. That will be pivotal, as Hal was said. But there you go, Arsenal tying Liverpool 2-2. Before we go, Hal, what today's random question of the day is, what is your favorite farm animal? And the options are cattle, pig, chicken.
Favorite farm animal?
Farm animal, yep.
I'm from the suburbs. I don't know from farm animals. I'll go. I'll say sheep just so not to be difficult.
It is all tied. 33% cattle, pig, and sheep are all tied for 33. Chicken is 0% right now. So you got time to go to our Twitter, the Sportscast One, to vote. How? What is the best way to reach you online before you go to New Zealand?
You can see my my Twitter handle there on the screen, Mandarin Hal. You can read me at gen0.halphillips.net. Had a little bit of a viral moment this week at halphillips.net. That's where I write about golf mainly and other things. Did you see that the tree fell during the round?
Yes, I heard about it. And they canceled the whole day, right? Or they canceled a few hours?
They canceled the rest of the day because I think it was nasty. And then they also said, Jesus, we better shut this down and get people.
You still there? Hal just left a little bit. We're still live. You can definitely check out with Hal at Mander and Hal on Twitter, MANDARINHL. And you can reach us at thesportscast.net, the Sportscast One. One thing before we leave, Jesse March had a contract negotiations with Leicester City did not turn out to be panned out. But there you have it. Visit our website, thesportscast.net. And hey, NBA playoffs begin this week. And this was your update.